Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Here he is, David Slacks with us. David.
Morning. Hey, I've got a science question for you. Do you know if you
just,
can...
Wait, just the person to go to. Yep. Yeah.
The vapors off mulch. Can you get high off the vapors off mulch?
Mulched marijuana, mulched cannabis.
No, just mulch, garden
like wood
mulch.
Chips.
Wood chips. You mean like compost? Oh, garden mulch.
Because I tell you what, if you can, go to Albert Park right now and get yourself a hit. All of the flower beds have been just, I reckon, all of the available stock in Auckland of mulch has been emptied onto them. And you just.
Did you get
just,
a bit of a buzz, did you?
Oh, man. I was a little bit giddy.
Did you see the glitter?
It's intense.
Do you want to have a rest before we do your bit?
Yeah, I might have a lie down.
just clear your head. Really? I don't know. Well, I just don't know if mulch gets you high, David.
No, no is the answer. No is the answer to that question.
Maybe what you were high on was the fact that you're strolling through such a beautiful
politics.
Park. And with the opportunity to come talk politics for an extended period here on the BVN Breakfast Show. And such an exciting time to be alive.
Yes,
politically. it's obviously not all of a sudden, but it's really picked up some pace, hasn't it? Let's take the day off school because our parents are lackluster and neither here nor there on climate change,
and maybe imperiling our future. And this is true.
If you're listening, your parent, 1%. You already have. You've done that already. You've already done that, parents.
Yes.
Me included.
If things stay right as they are, we'll get 1.5% rise by 2025, and there's every chance if we do nothing that by 2040 we'll be up to 3 or 4%. And that might not sound like a lot, but it actually means really, really hazardous and harmful effects. You know, way more wild weather, which leads to way more fires, way more heat waves, way more flooding, sea level rise. And sea level rise can sound innocuous too, but if you look at what it's done to little places on the West Coast already, you realise, and on various low-lying Pacific islands, you realise that this stuff is real, and once that stuff is higher, you cannot push the water back into the sea, bro.
Do you remember TV ad used to be on grandfather and
Greenpeace boys one with the white hat?
Yeah, it was all sort of like sepia tones and stuff, and it used to be all sorts of stuff out
most
here.
Most memorable,
so.
Eh?
Man, that really, I hated that ad when it came on. I just think, oh, no, please, 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 please don't. I mean, I didn't have a lot of faith in the human race existing for very long anyway when I was young, but, it's... It's right. It's a very memorable. The idea of it. The idea that if we just
it's but, biblical. But the problem is that
when you like as you started talking about it just before, we know that the people who we need to convince the most, have already switched off.
Yeah,
it's one of those things I just don't understand. Why you would surely you'd at least give it a go? Like,
I've heard it described as the hazard of the horizon, meaning it doesn't happen right away. So you can be driving your Maserati, Mike Hosking, and seeing all of that stuff going into the atmosphere and saying, "Well, I don't see any change. What's everybody on about?"
Right, Larry. Right, Mike.
But over right, the Kate? Horizon, yes. The accumulating effect of that means that all of this stuff is real and will be real, and therefore it's... Actually, I see it as a little bit biblical. You know how the Old Testament sees all... Plague and fire and pestilence, and the New Testament is you get a hug.
Yeah.
Now, this is our choice. If you stay with your climate change, your Old Testament, you're going to get way more plague. Plague, for example,
plague, for example.
As you get these, for example, hotter, longer summers, that means that a whole lot of change happens in the ecosystem, which means that, for example, certain kinds of beetles don't die off.
Yeah,
and so you get all of this infestation of the wrong kind of insects doing all kinds of harm.
This is we don't know enough about the fickle changes that happen in nature. We try really hard and we've got some great brains working on it, but we don't.
It's kind of why it's interesting that the kids seem to be taking it into their hands now to be like,
well, because
hey,
they,
well, we,
because
we're not
they don't want to work with their lives at school.
How frequently do kids go on strike?
Yeah.
Good point, Tess.
Never.
Yeah. Good
never.
Point.
And I cannot
and that's
believe
what's dividing sorry, all sorry, the MPs. They're just sort of being like, well, we don't know what to do. Is this, do we accept this or
nobody
not?
Wants to
And in comes, and she is your classic Old Testament preacher, Judith Collins. you knew before I even said the word, didn't you? Whenever she wants to mock something, if she especially wants to do it, she puts the word little in front of it.
Yep. Mm.
Your little train set, your little Kiwi Build program.
So did she call this a little strike?
Yeah, she was something like, this is the effect that your little stunt is going to have is meaningless. And
condescending, patronizing,
condescending. What she said about it?
Yeah, or words to that. I'm paraphrasing, but if you're listening to
Judith, lucky they're not government then, because she wouldn't take any notice of it at all, would they?
And here's the thing. Of all, and you know, this has been discussed many times this week, but it bears repeating. There are many reasons for kids in the past to have been given permission to go out of school. The visit of HRH whoever, yep. Any America's Cup parade, any goddamn rugby parade, any significant sporting event, off they go, no complaint. Now it's just one day to object to the inaction of politicians and business in the face of actual cataclysmic disaster, and certain hosts on certain radio stations that are trying to out-fascist News Talk ZB get the leader on and tell them that they're breaking the law and encouraging kids to wag, as if that's the intention, as if that's the likely outcome. Sure, there'll be some kids who'll take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah, kids on the periphery.
Kids can not come to school any day of the week if they feel like it and stay home and watch Netflix, and they do, and they will. What the hell is your problem, certain host on certain
I think that no matter what happens, even if 3 million kids turn up for that, he'll still keep talking like that's stupid, that's right. What would they know anyway? They haven't learned anything until they get their own parking spot.
Someone just texted in saying students not attending school for a day to raise awareness about climate change is being termed as wagging by politicians. But that just seems...
Yeah, well, I think they underestimate just how genuinely passionate...
Yeah, the sincere concern.
You know, when kids do projects now, they do projects on that.
Yeah.
But regardless, they should be encouraging kids to if they see something that they feel like is unjust.
Because
we don't
encourage our kids enough in this country. You know, we don't let our kids know that they actually do have their own voice in this country. And I think it's really cool. I think it probably started out 50-50 as a bit of a sort of get the day off as well. We should just strike, but then the sincerity of it suddenly starts coming into play.
Mm.
And I think we could be really surprised. When we had the big GE march, the first really big GE march.
Yes.
You know, and it really just surprised the hell out of everyone. You know,
That's right.
And it was it didn't do a whole lot, but it was but it's, you know, I think especially, you know, kids say they don't want to sort of organise themselves like that, but they did.
Well, there's also this concept of, you know, where does the debate exactly sit, and this that kind of thing moves the needle over a bit about where the popular will is perceived to lie, and that in turn influences political decision making. I should say, you know, we've got a government that at least is inclined to try and do something, and they're committing $28 billion to trying to transform transport so that people are getting out of fossil fuel burning cars and into public transport. They've got $100 million for technological work for clean energy, and in particular, you know, this is something Jacinda Ardern talks about quite often, the fact that our big, New Zealand's big contribution to the problem is the agricultural emissions, and therefore she thinks that there might be a technological answer in there somewhere, in the same way that moonshot. They didn't know how they were going to get to the moon, but they knew if they started trying.
It can only be a positive to look for it. And compared to, I mean, the last government, I guess, and you know, obviously we've got my allegiance is where I do, but the at least they have. We'll see how what the results are of the actions that the government's taking now. But at least they right from the start of their term they brought it to the table.
Yeah.
Instead of going, well, we're not sure. I don't want to say either way. I don't know. I think, you know, like, remember how just, you know, on the fence John Key was about the whole thing.
Yeah, and their inclination was to look to the economic consequence of it and say, oh, let's be a fast follower. They love that expression, you know. Let's not actually put
that. So everyone goes, oh, grabs their purse and goes, oh, yeah, right. That money I work so hard for, oh. Yeah.
But let's say, for example, you had said that in World War II. Oh, let's not send any troops to fight in Europe. We'll be a fast follower and let's hope that they can sort out those Nazis, because we don't have that many soldiers, really, not compared to Russia. Mm. Russia will take Russia did take the full brunt of it. That the same point applies. Our contribution is worth making.
Mm. Hell
this,
yes.
The sad thing about this whole ordeal that's happened with the kids trying to go on strike is that seems a little bit like the conversation's moved from being about what the kids are striking for to being about whether or not they should be allowed to.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, I guess it is up till the day, but if there's an amazing turnout on the day, and
is that what the conversation is about when you're talking about nurses going on strike or teachers going on strike? You talk about the issue, whereas like with these kids, that's kind of being completely missed, where they're trying to do something to be like, hey.
It's a telling projection too, I reckon, of anybody who makes that criticism, that they are saying that they're sort of telling us that if it were them doing it, they'd be doing it for the day off rather than because they care about the planet.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, the thing that I think you have to take into consideration as well is stuff like Te Reo is led by the school kids in this country by miles. You know,
a texter just said is that most kids, they're an ex-teacher, and most kids they know are better recyclers than any.
Absolutely, you know, because they haven't grown up with the habits of whatever, throw them a ciggy button in the ocean sort of thing. You know, and it's like with Te Reo, that it's kids teaching their parents, and this is a great opportunity because kids are at school every day learning about stuff, and parents are at work every day. Starting up their New Zealand small business that they're paranoid about capital gains tax and all that sort of stuff.
And there's another thing I should throw in there that where I was getting to with talking about government policy, and that is that there are plenty of great possibilities for achieving energy efficiency, greater use of renewables, all of those things that will bring down the emissions that are causing the climate change. And there's a lot of potential change possible now, and there's a wall of money that's actually ready to be invested in it. Some of these long-term investors, your super funds, the pension funds, and they say they would be keen to get in, but they find it hard to get into it because it's you have government processes that are too unwieldy and bureaucratic. Now, if those two things can be hooked up, you could make a lot of progress there too. So, you know, you don't have to be defeatist about this. You absolutely need to, but you absolutely need to be doing what these kids are doing, and that is saying, here's a hell of a problem, and why aren't you acting? Because there is actually plenty of possibility for you to act.
It's kind of embarrassing that we haven't marched about it.
Mm. And I just want to Lily in the news director sent me a message saying that overseas that the kids are striking every Friday.
Yes, good point.
And the kids in New Zealand are only one day. But they're striking every single Friday until something is done.
We've got rubbish public transport there. So problems
that's true.
It'll be all of these Friday.
The point there.
Like I say, I think we underestimate the influence and the power of an informed youth.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, the kids that are at school aren't just all stupid, mate. Hey, thank you, David Slack.
Hey, pleasure.
Have a wonderful, wonderful rest
of
the
week. I'm going to go lie down in Albert Park, bro.
Oh, nice.
Just take your top off and run mulch
over
there.
I don't know that the mulch smoke's going to be good for you, but...
glittery skirt that we found out there.
Yeah.
Thanks, David.
Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.